You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony Nuggets coach Michael Malone got a tattoo of team mascot Maxie the Miner. Would you get a tattoo?
Tony Kornheiser, not another one. Four serpents are enough, don't you think? I got no room for another one. Well, how old is
Michael
Malone?
Tattoo.
What are you doing?
Michael Malone is north of 50.
What are
He's
you
north
doing
of 50.
A tattoo of Maxie the Miner?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's going to wake up in about a month and a half and look in the mirror and go, what am I doing? What am I doing? I don't know.
Well,
welcome to PTI, boys and girls.
You and me.
You and me. We're smart. In today's
That's
episode,
right.
The Rangers are furious. Victor Wembanyama enters the spotlight, and Jay Billis joins us for 5 good minutes on the NBA draft. But we begin today with a trade brewing in the NBA. The Athletic reports that the Washington Wizards are in talks to send Kristaps Porzingis to the Celtics. The Celtics, in turn, would send Malcolm Brogdon to the Clippers, and the Clippers would send Marcus Morris to Washington. The Wizards would also get draft compensation, whatever that is. Wilbon, who gets the best end of this deal?
Nobody. I don't really understand it, necessarily, the moving pieces. Look, I like Malcolm Brogdon. We've established that over the years, and I think the Clippers need Malcolm Brogdon. It means Chris Paul wouldn't be going there, but the Clippers sort of need what Malcolm Brogdon does. And I thought Malcolm Brogdon was pretty good for the Celtics, and I don't blame him for their turnover parade at the end of games. I blame Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum because they had the ball, and Marcus Smart and Brogdon would have been better off with it in a lot of cases and making those decisions to me. And Porzingis, who I like on certain teams, the Celtics get bigger, but what does that mean for Rob Williams? And are they giving up on him? And what's the next move? Where does the shoe fall next? Tony, I don't get this. It's cool. It's cool to talk about. Maybe somebody will benefit from it in a way that I'm not smart enough to see. But right now, I'm just scratching my head.
Yeah, I think Porzingis can get 25 points in this league every single night. I think he makes the Celtics better. I think he brings them closer to a championship. I really
do. Wow.
I mean, I think he's been around a lot of teams, so there's a sense of devaluing him because what's he ever won? But I think on a good team like that, he can be something very important. I think I'm interested, obviously, in my local team, the Wizards. The Wizards just gave away Bradley Beal about 48 hours ago. They have now given away Porzingis. They get nothing back. Kuzma's going to leave as a free agent. They're headed to the bottom, Mike. They are a 25-win team at best, and the new GM, Michael Winger, has worked with Ted Leonsis and convinced Ted Leonsis, stop treading water. You're killing this team. Go down to the bottom, right?
Yeah. They got rid of $90 million.
Good.
$90 million is what they're saving, or almost, with those two guys, with Beal and Porzingis. Man, you got a high opinion of Porzingis.
They only won 33 with him, so now they can win 22 without him.
This deal is fun. People are going to have a big range of opinions on these.
Let's move to tomorrow's NBA draft and the obvious first selection, Victor Wembanyama. Yesterday, Wembanyama rode the subway in New York and threw out the first pitch at the Yankee game, and the ball looked like a marble in his hand.
Wide left.
We have seen a lot of highly anticipated big men enter the NBA as the number one pick in the last 50 years or so. Lou Alcindor, Hakeem Olajuwon, Ralph Sampson, Patrick Ewing, Yao Ming, just to name a few. Wilbon, how would you describe the anticipation around Wembanyama?
The greatest anticipation I have ever seen in my life over a player entering the draft, and that includes LeBron James by a lot. It's like LeBron James and Yao Ming, because Yao Ming, there was international interest. Patrick Ewing, my man. Nobody knew outside the I-95 corridor where he grew up in Boston and suburban Boston and where he, you know, played in Washington. That's great. New York, he landed in. This ain't that. Victor Wembanyama, Tony, the expectations and the hype and the anticipation, There's never seen anything like it. And if you just listen to LeBron James, who looked at him, and I asked LeBron, what do you think of him? And LeBron said, you know how they're unicorns? This is beyond that. He's an alien. And Kevin Durant said, the league is in trouble when this kid arrives. Come on. These are two guys who understand greatness and know what it is. And for them to assess it that way says a lot to me, says everything to me.
There's more pressure on a big man being chosen overall number one than there is on a small man being chosen overall number one. We'll go back to Alcindor, who became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Fabulously successful. Six rings. That's two more even than Will Chamberlain. Four more than Will Chamberlain, who had two. He had the scoring record of all time until LeBron broke it. Shaq had four rings. Olajuwon had four rings. Walton had four rings. Not everybody does. Ewing had no rings. Yao Ming had no rings. Ralph Sampson, who was a dominant player in college, was not a dominant player in the pros.
No,
and his body type is more alike with Wembanyama's than anybody else. In recent years, you have international players playing this position. Jokic, Embiid, and Antetokounmpo. I think that Wembanyama is under more pressure. The expectation is he will win multiple titles because he was number one.
Yeah.
None of those guys was the overall number one. None of them.
Right.
And I think you make your mark on defense, Mike. I expect scoring from him, but I think it's going to be rebounding and block shots and defense in the middle of the action to separate him from others. And I don't, you know, I don't know. I think the jury's still out because he's a kid. He's a kid.
Well, the jury's going to be out. And Tony, San Antonio didn't have a team. And by the way, that part is important. I don't know that you mentioned Tim Duncan, but Tony, but it seems to be the right laboratory. You know, he's going to a place where, you know, he's going to get all the benefit of knowledge and wisdom and tough coaching. Let's move to baseball and a controversial call that decided last night's game between the Rangers and White Sox. With the game tied in the eighth, Rangers left fielder Travis Jankowski appeared to throw out Elvis Andrews at the plate. But upon review, the replay center ruled Rangers catcher Jonah Heim had blocked the plate illegally. The out was overturned. The run scored. The White Sox won. It was all preposterous. Rangers manager Bruce Bochy got tossed arguing. Tony, does Bochy have a legit beef?
Bochy said after the game. He said, that's one of the worst calls I've ever seen. He's 68 years old. He's managed for almost 30 years. He's seen thousands and thousands and thousands of calls. And he said this is one of the worst he's ever seen. I wonder how many thousands of dollars that will cost him in being fined. Look, I didn't see the plate being blocked. I watched a replay 15 times. You can see the white of the plate. The runner is not impeded. He has a clear path to the plate, and he's out on the field. If you're going to overturn that call, it has to be absolutely definitive, Mike, and I don't see it being definitive at all. I think it's a terrible call.
Here's what was definitive. The plate was open to the runner. Anything else is not just stupid, it's dishonest. It cheats the game. It cheats the other team. It's wrong. And if baseball people can't stand up and say, no, this is wrong, Bochy's right. Tony, this is in the running for worst call I've ever seen. I didn't have the sound up. I started watching it because I'm watching MLB Network and they're replaying it 50 times. And I got to turn the sound up to go, what the hell happened here? It's dumb. Yeah. Change the rule. You don't call the letter of the rule there when the spirit shows you the plate is accessible to the runner. Anything else is asinine and should be tossed out.
Baseball should really revisit that play and start the game over with the score tied with one inning to go. They should.
Goodness.
Let's take a break. Coming up, we will ask Jay Billis to give us the scoop on Scoot Henderson.
We'll also ask him whether Alabama star Brandon Miller could be the second player chosen.
You can see the plate the whole way. The runner has...
It's insane.
It's insane.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Corona, part of Happy Hour.
The NBA draft is tomorrow night, and analyzing the picks for ESPN will be the dapper bald man who joins us now, our great friend Jay Billis. Let me get to the first question here. People wonder, Jay, how Victor Wembanyama's frame is going to hold up on the NBA level. Should there be some concern about that?
You know, Tony, the only concern I have about Victor Wembanyama is I don't have any concerns, and that concerns me. I keep looking for something that's wrong with this guy, and there's nothing wrong with him. He's not even lactose intolerant or anything. There's nothing. He's the best prospect since LeBron, and there's never been anybody quite like him on a basketball floor. At 7'4", with all the things that he can do, and he's perhaps more impactful on the defensive end than he is on the offensive end. He's incredibly impactful there. His frame, it is in the back of your mind, durability, and you know, is he too thin or something like that? But he's never had any injury problems. We had the same concerns about Kevin Durant when he came out of Texas in 2007. Remember when, you know, he couldn't bench press 185 pounds at the combine even one time? We were like, oh my God, what's going to happen? They don't have bench press contests. He's been an all-time great. And absent an injury, and that's the only thing that can derail this Wembanyama train to the Hall of Fame, I don't have any concerns about him. He's that good.
Amen. And we could talk about Wembanyama for the whole segment, but we're going to move to some other stuff. Like, oh, wait, the second best guy maybe, Scoot Henderson. Jay, do you think Scoot Henderson, is he the second guy on your board, if there is such a thing? And just when you look at him, what do you see?
It was a two-horse race for the second pick for me with Brandon Miller of Alabama and Scoot Henderson of the G League. And Henderson reminds me of Russell Westbrook at the same age. I'm not saying he's going to be Russell Westbrook. I'm saying at the same age, their profiles compare very favorably. Henderson played 2 years in the G League. And his numbers, his offensive rating, his assist totals, rebound totals were better than Jalen Green's when he played in the G League. And Green was the number two overall pick in the draft a couple years ago. He's really dynamic. He's only 6'2", 6'3", but his arms are like of a 6'9 guy. And he can get to the rim and finish. He's a great playmaker for himself and for others. Really good vision as a passer. He hadn't figured out the shooting piece yet. He's not a consistent shooter from three or from the free throw line. Miller is the better shooter, and I tend to think that Miller's going to go number two to Charlotte because of that factor in a league that values shooting as much as the NBA does. Miller's bigger, he's super athletic, and he's a much better perimeter shooter.
Jay, I want to go back. I can't get off Wembanyama, so I want to go back to something related to Wembanyama for a second. And I think there are three French prospects that people have going perhaps in the first round. and I'm looking at Wembanyama, and I'm looking at the last five MVPs, and I'm looking at four of the five selections for first team All-NBA, and you've been at this a long time. When you look at the world of basketball and you got Wembanyama on top of it, what is going on with American kids in basketball relative to the world and Wembanyama and some of the kids that are now dominating world basketball?
You know, I don't think anything negative is going on with American basketball. It's just that after, as you guys know, after the 1992 Dream Team, basketball exploded globally. And the idea that we're going to have all the best players, it's like looking at baseball and saying, whoa, 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 where did this Shohei Ohtani guy come from? Like, they don't play baseball in Japan. You know, it's been our game for a long time. It's not our game anymore. It's the world's game. And so I don't think we should be surprised that international players are so successful. The United States still has more of the best players than anywhere else in the world. We don't have all of them, and we haven't had all of them for quite some time now. So that shouldn't be a shock to us. It is as well, the international game is as well coached as in the United States. I'm not going to say it's better, but international coaches are very innovative, and I think by and large their players are trained to play the total game. Maybe even a bit more than ours. I still think there is an element to the game in the States of big guys down here work on big guy stuff, guards down here work on perimeter stuff, and that's not the way it is in the international game. They work on everything and develop the total game, and Victor Wembanyama is an example. And I would say this, Ralph Sampson, if he were born 19 years ago, would be more like Victor Wembanyama, but he was born in the era of, hey, big guys go down there and work with your back to the basket. If he went on the out on the perimeter, people thought, what are you doing? You're 7'4", get inside. He wouldn't be the same player if he were playing now.
We'll get you out of here on this. You've talked about the first three picks in the draft. Is there anybody a little bit lower down the board that you particularly like?
There are a couple. There are actually quite a few, but there are a couple I would point out. Cam Whitmore from Villanova has an NBA body right now. He attacks the rim like he's got something against it. And, you know, he was interrupted a little bit by injury this last year, so didn't get a complete body of work at Villanova. But he is, you know, if he were ever to struggle in a workout, all he has to do is go over to the bench and take his shirt off in front of the scouts, and he'll be drafted in the lottery. The other is Taylor Hendricks at UCF, who is a prototypical stretch four, can really shoot it from the perimeter, block shots, rebounds at a high rate, plays with a great motor. Those two guys will be gone by pick 10, and both of them are going to play in the NBA for a long time.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Thank you, Jay. As always. Appreciate it. Look forward to tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
You can watch the draft tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Deion Sanders shares whether he could see himself coaching in the NFL one day.
And is Nuggets guard Bruce Brown making the right move to test free agency?
So everybody we ever bring on seems to agree that Wembanyama should be that good.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Corona. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 76th birthday, Wade Phillips. The son of the legendary Bum Phillips is still coaching football. He's a lifer. Wade Phillips got his first NFL coaching job in 1976, coaching linebackers in Houston. He got his first defensive coordinator job in 1981 in New Orleans. Phillips was head coach of Denver, Buffalo, and Dallas, compiling an 82-64 record. His last NFL head coaching job was in 2013 as the interim in Houston. Now Phillips is coaching the Houston Roughnecks in the XFL. His team had the best regular season record in the South Division, 7-3, but lost the division championship to the eventual XFL champions, the Arlington Renegades.
Tony, how about this? He's tied with his dad for career victories with 82, but Wade has the better winning percentage because Bum was 82-77. I know both of us think of Bum Phillips as a bigger character, and we think of him as a better head coach, but the record doesn't say that.
Yes, we do, though. We do. We certainly do. Happy anniversary, James Worthy. On this day, 35 years ago, Worthy chose the perfect time to post the first triple-double of his career, tallying 36 points, 16 rebounds, and 10 assists to lead the Lakers over the Pistons in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. That made the Lakers the first repeat champions since the Celtics in 1968 and 69. The crazy thing about going nearly two decades without a repeat champion is how many there were immediately after that. The Pistons repeated. The Bulls won three in a row. Then the Rockets repeated. Then another three-peat by the Bulls and a three-peat by the Lakers. From 1987 to 2002, the only one-year champion was San Antonio in 1999.
Man. We go back to Big Game James. That's how you get the nickname Big Game. Because in a Game 7, you go out like that. James Worthy, one of the great guys in basketball forever and ever, a terrific analyst. If you watch the Lakers, you can see Big Game James now nightly.
Happy trails to the Rockies once again. The Reds beat them for a third straight time this afternoon. It's Cincy's 11th straight win overall. The Rockies actually jumped out to a 3-0 lead before the Reds tied it in the bottom of the fifth, then scored what proved to be the winning runs in the bottom of the eighth on a two-run homer from Jake Fraley. The Reds now have their longest winning streak since 1957. And if you think that's impressive, two more wins will earn them their longest winning streak since, hello, 1899.
Wow, and Tony, in that time, that means the big red machine with the Hall of Famers, with Joe Morgan and Johnny Bench and Sparky, and they didn't win 11 in a row? Really? 11
that
in a row is a lot. That's a big winning streak in baseball.
I am really surprised that the big red machine did not have that.
Didn't do it.
One correction. This is important. I said Hakeem Olajuwon and Bill Walton had four rings each.
Not
it's
exactly.
Two in the pros. Though if you add college, Walton had four. I apologize. I got so carried away because I was talking about big men, and I knew Shaq had four. And I'm trying to make the point that the pressure on Wembanyama is such that if he doesn't get three or four or five, people are going to say,
at least a couple.
You know, right? Yeah. Don't you? Yeah, he's got to get at least that. Let's go to the big finish. The Giants have won nine in a row. Do you see number 10 tonight over the Padres?
I don't know. They got Yu Darvish going. I know he's only 5-5. I'm going to go with Darvish and Padres to stop the streak. The NCAA suspended Memphis coach Penny Hardaway for the first three games of next season. Your thoughts?
Was there recruiting violations or not taking responsibilities, coaching responsibilities? I didn't think this could happen anymore, honestly, with the new NIL and everything else. Nuggets guard Bruce Brown opted out of his $6.8 million final year and will hit free agency. Do you think that's smart?
I love Bruce Brown. Am I just allowed to say Bruce Brown, fanatic golfer, okay, when he's not playing basketball? It's a lot of golf courses right here in Scottsdale, Bruce. I'm not recruiting. I'm just saying.
Sounds like you are.
Deion Sanders
like
tells SI he doesn't have any desire or ambition to coach in the NFL. You believe your boy Deion?
I believe him right now. That may change in time. But you're coaching Colorado. Coach Colorado, good for Deion, saying let's shut the door on that right now. Last one, Shohei pitches against the Dodgers tonight. What do you expect?
Tony, a lot of traffic. And I'm going with Shohei. Shohei's just on a roll doing everything at the Angels. Going with Shohei.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcast. Not tomorrow. The draft, you know? Friday. Now, here's SportsCenter.